just a few minutes to hear the word of the Lord this morning, then we're going to offer prayer for any of you who have need for prayer and have faith to believe God will meet you at the point of prayer. But all year long, we've been talking about the blessing of God. It's inexhaustible. There's no way we can even scratch the surface as to how capable God is when it comes to blessing His people. How willing He is to pour out His high blessings on His people. And we start every Sunday almost all year long like this. The people of God had wandered around in a wilderness for 40 years, and now at the end of that journey, 40 years of wandering, they could look over the border and see the promised land. That's what God had told them He was going to give them. And He said to His people at the end of 40 years, you've really never lacked anything these 40 years. I've defeated your enemies. I've fed you when you're hungry. I've given you water when you were thirsty. I have provided well for you. You've not lacked anything. Already right now, before you step over into the promised land, you're already blessed right here, right now. But, Deuteronomy 1:11, God said, but may the God of your fathers bless you 1,000 times more, just as He promised. And so all year long, we've been probing and pressing into this revelation of 1,000 times greater blessing God has for us. And not just about money, perhaps not much at all about money, other than have enough to meet your needs and to be generous, but 1,000 times more peace, 1,000 times less confusion, 1,000 times greater favor of God resting on your life, 1,000 times more direction for your future headed into your destiny, 1,000 times greater influence in your life and in the world. What would it be like to be 1,000 times more blessed than you are? So God is driving the point home all year long. He's not through blessing you. Now, if you are a believer, and I'm sure you are, your testimony goes a little bit like mine, and we can all say this and be telling the truth. I messed up, I fessed up, and got blessed up. Today, I want to talk a little bit more about another way God blesses His people. And today I'm talking about obedience. And obedience always brings blessing. Now, I've told you some of the epitaphs I've considered for my tombstone. There's so many, it's got to be a big rock. But one epitaph for me could be, it is my testimony, every blessing I've ever received has been because of God's faithfulness to me, not because of my faithfulness to Him. Now, that would be a good epitaph, and I really feel that way in my heart, but there is a revelation in Scripture that challenges that as a truth. Now, of course, God blesses all of us in so many ways. Even the ungodly, the atheist, the non-believer, those who would raise their fist at God and curse at Him, He gives them the breath and the strength to lift that fist and to open their mouth and rail curse against Him. He's good to all of us in so many ways. But today I want to bring out the point in Scripture that one of the ways God blesses His people is through our obedience. It only stands to reason that there are benefits and there are blessings that come to the faithful and to the obedient that those who are not faithful and not obedient should not expect. Ooh. So, that's the way it's going to be today. Uh-huh. Okay, this is not going to take long. Many of the blessings in the book God has given us, His Holy Bible, are conditional. And they come to us when we say yes and obey God. We may be denied some of His blessings if we disobey Him. Are we all right so far? Am I going to have to be careful up here this morning? Thank you. Luke chapter 5 tells the story of Jesus teaching to a crowd of people. And while He was teaching, He saw two boats docked. And the owners of the boats, who had just finished their day's work, washing their nets, which let Jesus know they're wrapping it up, calling it a day, it's over for them. And He taught His word to the crowd. And then in verse 4 of Luke 5, when He had stopped speaking, He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to Him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." We've worked hard. It would be a waste of time to go back out there. We're exhausted. They're not biting. We've done all we can do about it. It's hopeless right now. We're washing our nets. It's over. We are the professionals here. You are good with a hammer. You're a carpenter. We're the fishermen by trade. And we've toiled. Don't you hate that word? Toiled. We've toiled all night and caught nothing. That was His first mindset. And then, obviously, a light bulb went off in Simon's head, and he turned on a dime, and he said, "Nevertheless, at your word, just because it's you and you said it, we're going to obey you. I will let down the net." In verse 6, "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that both boats were so filled they began to sink." And just imagine what would have happened just in this one occasion, just the one, not to consider all of the other issues Simon dealt with in his life, but in this one specific instance, how differently the outcome would have been if he'd have said no. But he said yes to the commandment of the Lord. He heard what Jesus said, and he said, "Regardless of my natural logic, regardless of I think I know best, regardless of I'm the pro and I'm good at this and better than you at this, nevertheless, if I hear the Lord say it, at His word I will obey." And so he was so blessed by obeying. Obedience always brings blessing. And obeying God in the small matters is an essential step in receiving God's greatest blessings. Some of us never get beyond that small pre-K level. It's too little. That's just a small thing. No need for me to really get excited and obey that. Look, that's a small thing. No, the Lord looks at it like this. If He can find a man or a woman who is faithful and obedient in a small, simple instruction, it gets Him so excited, He goes ahead and promises, "I'm going to make you a ruler over 10 cities. He did that in a parable one time. So when it's a small instruction, don't minimize it or think it's unimportant and can never be significant, because God is looking for obedience even in small things. He just said, "Nevertheless, at your word, We're going to obey your instruction. So they launched back out, and great blessings occurred. Nevertheless, at your word. Those are four words in Scripture that have so much revelation there. Now, another thing we can learn by this story is our obedience always benefits others. It's not always just about you or just about me. When you obey the word of the Lord, oh, you are blessed because of it, but others are too. Look at how many people here were blessed with a great blessing just because Simon obeyed the word of the Lord. He had partners. He had friends. And the blessing he received was too much for him to handle. He had to holler for them, bring your boat too. My net has broken. I can't get them all in my boat. How many families were fed out of that one great blessing? And it all started with a small instruction that defied logic. And Simon Peter thankfully got on board with the word. He said, nevertheless, at your word. When you make one act of obedience, you commit one act of simple obedience, you will be, and many others will benefit from it too. My favorite verse of Scripture, blessed be the Lord who loads me down every day with his many benefits of salvation. Psalm 68:19, been my favorite verse since I was 20 years old. Anytime anybody ever, what's your favorite verse? I go to that one. I don't have to think. They're all good, but that's the one. That's my banner verse. He loads me down every day. Look at me. Look at me. I know I'm not pretty. Don't look at me because I'm pretty. I don't spend much time in front of the mirror. It's just hopeless. But look at me and see the billboard, a model of the blessing of God. And I'm humbled and honored. I see the same thing when I look at you. God is good to us. I feel like he has blessed me more than he's blessed anybody, but I know that's not biblical. He doesn't respect me any more than you. He doesn't love me any more than you. The truth is, he blesses all of us in so many ways. And one way to get to that 1,000 times blessing is to simply obey his word. He pours out great blessings on those who obey. Obedience always brings blessings. And God often rewards others when we obey him, and specifically those who are closest to us. Your family first, your spouse, your children, your parents, your siblings, your friends, your co-workers. Really, you go ahead and commit one single act of obedience and see how many people close to you will benefit from the blessing of your obedience. Those closest to you get in on it. There's a law of first mention. If you've gone to a Bible school, you've probably heard of this law. First mention. And it simply goes something like this. The first time you will find anything mentioned in the Bible, the first time it's mentioned, it's the law of first mention. Then the first time it's mentioned in the Bible, many times it sets the structure. It will tell you so much about what God will always do concerning that issue. And the first time the word obey is in Scripture is found in Genesis chapter 22 when God mentioned to Adam this truth. God said to Adam in Genesis 22:18, or to Abraham, excuse me, in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. First time we see the word obey in Scripture is right there when God connects obedience to blessings being passed down generationally. I'm sick and tired of hearing about generational curses. Over it. Done with that one. Because the Word has so much to say about generational blessings. Those of us who obey God's Word, then according to the promise He made to the father of our faith, Abraham, all the nations shall be blessed because of our obeying His voice. And then I want to bring this point out too, because it's not a given. It's not an automatic thing. We need to realize this is the truth. Obedience is a choice. It's up to us. You want the greatest blessings God has for your life? Then you have a choice. You can obey, or you can choose to disobey. If we say yes to God and obey His word, then blessings are immeasurable, unlimited. He just pours out 1,000 times more. So much that it benefits and blesses those closest to us, right around us. It's a choice. We're not puppets. He gave us an option to choose. I love the way God is, though. He will tell you clearly in Scripture, hey, you got a choice to make. This or that. And then He goes, do this. It's not like he leaves you hanging and wondering what to do. He said, hey, I've set before you today a blessing or a curse. Choose the blessing. God said, yeah, hey, you got a choice to make. I've set two options here. Life or death. Well, now that's a no-brainer, you would think. But in case you're struggling and not knowing which to choose, life or death, I really don't know. He goes on to say, choose life. Any good? But the big picture, the choice, still yours, still mine. We have a choice to make. There are some options, and obedience is a choice. We also have the option of disobedience, and the consequences that come with that are not nice. Sometimes one single act of obedience results in a great blessing. In fact, I'll give you that homework assignment. When you leave here and walk out the door to get in your car to go about your day and your week and your life, see how long it will take you before you have an opportunity to intentionally commit one single act of obeying God's word. Just, I mean, see if you can do that. Some of you can achieve that goal before you get to your car, probably. Just one act of obedience to God's word, and a blessing will come your way. The power of one single act sometimes is great and beyond our imagination. I remember in 1985, Brenda and I had been married for a few years, and had we were living in California at the time. Or no, we were living in Spartanburg at the time. We had a choice to make, whether to move to California, which we didn't want to do, but if I was going to stay working where I was working, I would have to move to California. And I had visited, and California was a great place to visit, but I didn't know if I'd want to live there. I had a wife and a little four-year-old girl at the time, and we were happy as a hog in 40 acres of slop in Spartanburg. And I just wish, you know, time would stand still. Have you ever been in a season of your life, it was just so good, and you knew you were so blessed? You know, Lord, don't change a thing. Right here, right now, I'm fine. Life's not that way. God changes the times and the seasons. And so we were up against a deadline, whether I was to tell my boss man, we're packing our boxes and loading, yay, California, here we come. Or I was going to tell my boss man, no, we ain't going. I'm resigning. We're not going. And the pressure was on. We were young back then. Well, younger. Still young. But just didn't know what to do. And so in my frustration, on a Thursday night, I had left the office to go home and eat. And I was frustrated. I don't like to be that way. In my frustration, I said to Brenda, I'm going back to the office, and I don't know what to do. I've prayed, and God won't say anything to me about it, so why don't you pray and see if He'll say anything to you? It was about like that. So I got in the car and drove to the office, a 10-minute ride, and when I got there, the phone was ringing in my office, and it was the third line, and back then, no caller ID, we didn't know, but understanding, anytime after hours, if I was at the office and Brenda wanted to call me, I wouldn't answer just any call, but if she called me on that line, I knew it was her. So that line was ringing, and it was Brenda, and I had just left, and I answered, and I said, "Hello?" And she said, "Darling, we need to move to California." And to hear her say that right then was the shock of my life. I was so shocked. I said, "What in the world would make you say that?" And she said, "Well, before you left, you said the Lord wasn't speaking to you, and you told me to pray about it and see if I could get a word, and I did." She said, "As soon as you left, I asked the Lord about it, and I heard the Lord say to us, 'If you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life.'" When I heard her say that, oh, look, I don't want to get weird and spooky, but God still speaks today. If he ever did speak clearly, he still speaks clearly today. When he has something to say, he wants you to hear it clearly. He is the great communicator. When he wants to speak, we should be all ears. How many times did the Lord say, "He that hath an ear, let him hear"? Take heed how you hear. Be careful to hear the Lord when he speaks. And when he speaks, you'll be able to quote him verbatim for the rest of your life. Now, he speaks through his word, and he speaks by his spirit. You will never hear the Lord say anything to you that contradicts what he's written in his word. He doesn't do that. But if he ever did speak, he still does, because God has never had a stroke that rendered him unable to speak. He never changes. And when we heard that word from God, "If you will move to California and give me 1 year of your life there, I will show you my perfect will for the rest of your life." When we heard that word, all the confusion, all the frustration was out the window. I got so excited, I couldn't wait to get boxes and load the truck. One word from God changes everything. And if you say yes when you hear his voice, he blesses. Now, that's exactly what happened. We stayed out there a year, and God showed us his perfect will for the rest of our lives. He kept his word. One single act of obedience can bring a lifetime of God's blessings. Everything can change with one act of obedience. Jesus is the model there. Romans 5:19 says, "For as by one man's disobedience," talking of Adam, "many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience," talking about Christ, "many will be made righteous." Just think, that one single act of obedience Jesus committed, obeying the Father's purpose for his life, by one single act, many were made righteous. So the power of a single act. Now I'm going to close by reading a lot of scripture. It's all good. Deuteronomy chapter 28. I love half of it. For those of you who are students of the Word, and all of you are and have been, you know already, Deuteronomy 28 is that one chapter that gives you so many ways God can bless you. Blessings, blessings, blessings. The first of the chapter start with so many different promises of how and where and when God will bless you. But then it shifts gears, and the last part of that chapter tells you how cursed you will be if you don't obey God. Now, I'm just going to read the first part. Deuteronomy chapter 28, beginning with verse 1. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in West Virginia. Oh, blessed. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. They got that going on out there at the Osborne Farm. All that right out there. Blessed, all that cattle and flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and will flee before you in seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. And he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you. If, conditional, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath. If, conditional, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Blessed coming in and going out. Blessed getting up and laying down. Blessed here and there and everywhere. Everywhere you go, be blessed. The windows, the treasures of heaven opened up, and heaven's best will fall into your life. If we're obedient, if we hear God clearly and obey him. Now, the rest of the verse is given to the consequences of disobedience. Every blessing God has for you are countered by your disobedience. If you choose that, cursed you'll be getting up and going to bed. Cursed you'll be coming in and going out. Cursed you'll be, the heavens are going to be locked up. You're not going to get any treasure falling in your life. Why? Because you chose to be disobedient. Curses follow disobedience. But let's be about the blessing. The Message translation says it like this: all the blessings will come on you and spread out beyond you. It says God will order a blessing. The message says God will throw open the doors of his sky vaults. Imagine the treasure that's on the other side of that vault. The treasures of heaven. God will throw open the door of his sky vaults. Plural, it says. The Amplified Bible says, if you live your life each and every day in his ways, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Some of you are sitting right here, I'm tired of being the tail. Some of you need to get tired, sick and tired of being the tail. Have you ever been the tail? It ain't God's best for you. God wants you to be the head, not the tail. Somebody, before you leave, needs to get that revelation exploding and leave here saying, I am not going to be the tail anymore. I'm going to be the head. The Amplified Bible says it like this. The Lord will make you a leader and not a follower. Leaders arise. Obedience opens the door. Those who obey are blessed. Those who disobey are cursed. It's just that simple. Now, I will say this. I've read to the end of that chapter. I won't even put it up on the screen. I don't even like it. But it's true, so it's in there for good. But verse 68 of that chapter, Deuteronomy 28, the very last verse, God says to those who disobey him, he says, in that verse he said, I'm going to put you on a ship and send you back to Egypt. Now, we won't even talk about what that represents and what that meant. And he says, and there you will be offered for sale as a slave. But you'll be so cursed, nobody will be interested in even buying you. That's cursed right there. We don't want to disobey and deal with curse. We want to be obedient and receive God's great blessings that come by meeting the conditions of being faithful. And then finally, I'll say this, here again, Jesus is the model. Obedience must be learned. Any of you got small children or small grandchildren? Have you noticed when they're little babies, they were not born with the knowledge of how to obey? Well, maybe your children were, I don't know. The Bible says obedience must be learned. Our children are not born with that gene, I don't think. It has to be imputed into them. Obedience must be learned, and all of us must learn to obey. Hebrews 5:8 is the verse there. It says, even though Jesus was God's Son, he learned obedience from the things he suffered. Now, suffered is a strong word, and he did his share of that. In fact, more than his share, he did his share and ours. He knew what suffering was about, even suffering unto death. He knew what suffering was about. But really what this word suffering means here is he learned through life experience. And all of us have that chance. We learn to obey God as we go through life. Sometimes we learn through our own mistakes. Better, though, to learn through somebody else's mistakes, and still better even yet, to learn from God's Word. And immediately when we hear his voice speak from his Word, choose to be obeyed. Obedience must be learned. And I'll close with this verse, Isaiah 1:19. If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, between me and you, out of those two verses, I like the first one better. Don't you? Isn't the first one a lot easier to swallow, right? I don't like this one. If you refuse, when you devour the mouth of the Lord, I don't like that one. Let's not disobey so that that consequence comes to us. Let's choose to be obedient, because obedience always brings blessings. And if we're willing and obedient, God said, you'll enjoy the best the land has to offer. That's a blessing from God. There's a song. I'm going to ask Lawrence to come to the piano, and we'll sing just four lines together. And some of you may know this from your background, churches came up in, but some of you may have never heard some of the great songs. I think about, I own it. I take part of responsibility. I don't know if my daughters really know the harmony to those beautiful words, "A mighty fortress is our God," because we don't sing some of the old songs that are great and wonderful. Lawrence, the Lord says, record an album of old hymns. Well, I don't know if that was the Lord or me. That might have been just me, but oh, love those old hymns. But there's a song that says, "Trust and obey." Listen to the lyrics to a verse. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Stand, if you will. The prayer team.